The year was 2018, and Team Colloquic set out on a climb in Calpe, Spain. Jonas Vingegaard set out to beat the Strava KOM Col du Retz that would change his trajectory in competitive cycling forever. As he neared the top of the climb, the rest of the team had fallen away. He looked strong. And he pulled it off. He managed 12 minutes and 35 seconds with an average of 6.7 watts per kilogram. This KOM at this training camp was a turning point because his ride put him above many other professional cyclists. And at this time, in 2018, Vingegaard was an unknown under 23 rider, splitting his time between cycling and working with fish, cleaning, cutting, putting them on ice from 6 in the morning until 11 in the morning, and then training afterwards. And when pro team Jumbo-Visma put together Jonas's climb and his potential, they decided to try it with the unknown Dane with a huge engine. And so, from this Strava KOM, he was discovered by Jumbo-Visma. And 4 years later, he wins the Tour de France for them. But how did Jonas Vingegaard transform from the little guy to a Jumbo-Visma leader? Sophie Smith interviewed him for Cycling News and found out as he prepares for the Vuelta a España as his team eyes a Grand Tour clean sweep. That's on today's show, and I have another rider profile for you. The burnout problem in the women's peloton. Should we ditch hardtail mountain bikes and the best gravel tires for every situation? Hello, I'm Damien Roos, and welcome to Quick Spin. If you're new here, our Quick Spin compiles all of the cycling-related things from the internet in an easy-to-digest format with all the best news and views. And like I always say, I watch, read, and listen to all of the news, so you don't have to, but you can find the links for everything on the show in the show notes. And with that, let's get into it. How Jonas Vingegaard transformed from the little guy to Jumbo-Visma leader by Sophie Smith, published in the Cycling News website. My top five takeaways about Jonas are, number one, the quiet transformation into leadership. Jonas Vingegaard's journey from a quiet cyclist to a team leader is a central theme. His evolution is attributed to learning from teammates like Primoz Roglic and Wout van Aert. Number two, disciplined approach and compliance. Vingegaard's success is due to how hard he works at training and how well he follows his coach's plan. He follows training routines very carefully, which shows a high level of compliance, and this commitment helps him do a good job every time and keeps him getting better. Number three, mental resilience and experience. Looks at the mental effects of winning back-to-back tours, and Vingegaard knows how to deal with stress and tiredness of success because of what he learned from his first win. People point out that his calm attitude and ability to recharge with family time are important for his mental health. Number four, Vuelta a España challenge. The article delves into Vingegaard's decision to participate in the Vuelta a España after his Tour de France win. The unique training approach, considering the short preparation period, showcases his willingness to embrace new challenges and his determination to excel in different terrains. And the fifth one here, uncertainty and balance. Vingegaard emphasizes how important it is to find balance between recovery, training, and time with his family, and this shows how much he cares about well-being and the people around him. Next up, an article from Roulair. Sometimes you need to say stop. Women's cycling's burnout problem. According to the article, burnout in professional cycling, particularly in the women's peloton, occurs due to several key factors, and here are the top three from the article. Number one is a demanding schedule and pressure. The expanded Women's World Tour calendar and smaller team sizes lead to a relentless cycle of races and training, pressuring female cyclists to perform without sufficient rest and ultimately contributing to burnout. Number two, lack of balance and mental strain. The rigorous demands of professional cycling make it difficult to balance personal and professional lives, while external expectations and limited support resources exacerbate mental strain, adding to the risk of burnout. And the final one, inherent challenges and limited recovery. The challenging nature of the sport, combined with insufficient breaks and team dynamics, creates an environment where physical and mental fatigue accumulates, increasing the likelihood of burnout. Overall, burnout in professional cycling is a complex interplay of factors. including the demanding schedule, the pressure to perform, limited support, mental strain, and inherent challenges of the sport. Next up, we have Andreas Leknessen's rise to becoming one of Norway's top Tour de France hopes is marked by remarkable progress and dedication. These are the steps he took to rise through the ranks. The first one was volunteering origins. Less than a decade ago, he was a teenage volunteer at the Arctic Race of Norway, helping with tasks like tearing down barriers at the finish line. Number two, racing passion. Growing up, he was inspired by professional races like Tor Hushovd and Alexander Kristoff, which fueled his passion for cycling. The third one, breakthrough performance. Leknessen's breakout moment at the 2022 Arctic Race, where he won his first GC crown, foreshadowing his success in the Giro d'Italia and Tour de France. Number four, training challenges. He trains in the Arctic Circle, navigating the unique landscapes and wildlife, including reindeer and moose. Number five, the move to UNOX team. Leknessen is set to join the UNOX team in 2024, a professional and competitive team that aligns with his goals and provides the opportunities for further growth. Number six, prospects for the future. Leknessen's future in professional cycling looks promising, and he aims to excel in stage races and potentially secure a place in future Tour de France events. Now, are hard tails dead? A question Bike Radar asked in this article. Analysis: are the humble hardtails days numbered in top-level cross-country racing? With the cross-country racing world changing fast, this analysis looked at what the future holds for cross-country bikes. Cross-country racing has changed a lot over the years, putting more emphasis on both technical skill and speed. The change was shown at the Glentrees World Championship, which had a difficult course with tricky rock gardens, steep drops, and hard climbs. The key features of the cross-country bikes show how they have changed over time, and these include the use of 29-inch wheels, suspension travel greater than 100 millimetres, wider, more capable tyres, and a progressive geometry that improves performance. Full suspension cross-country bikes have asserted their dominance, relegating hardtails to a minority. And the introduction of semi-integrated designs in bikes like Trek Supercalibers and Specialized Epic World Cup, which bridge the gap between hardtails and full suspension models, geometry adjustments have further enhanced handling by promoting better control on descents and efficient climbing. The horizon suggests intriguing possibilities, potentially including bikes capable of switching between hardtail and full suspension modes. While full suspension bikes dominate professional racing, hardtails continue to hold relevance for less technical courses or marathon events. But what about gravel bikes? Bike Rumor has compiled the best gravel bike tires of 2023. The article provides a detailed review of the best gravel bike tires available in 2023, and here are the top recommendations based on different categories. Starting with best overall gravel bike tire, the WTB Rattler. The pros are great grip in wet and dry conditions, superb ride quality, puncture protection, fast rolling, versatile. The cons: slightly heavy, not ideal for muddy conditions. The size tested was a 40 millimeter and the weight is 522 grams. Best budget is the Continental Terra Trail. Pros: supple casing and ride quality, puncture protection, handling on hard pack and loose gravel. Cons: grip in soft, muddy conditions, and it was a 40 millimeter tested. The runner-up of the best gravel bike tire was the Panaracer Gravel King SK Plus. Super supple ride, great for mixed surfaces, smooth rolling on pavement, easy tubeless setup, puncture protection. The cons: it loses grip in mud and it's not the lightest. The best high-performance gravel tire, the Maxxis Rambler. Race-winning performance, lightweight, fast rolling, superior grip, puncture protection. Cons: not ideal in mud, slight buzz on pavement. The best bike tire for adventuring and bikepacking, the WTB Resolute. Pros: all-weather performance, supple ride, quality, great grip and control, puncture protection. The cons: heavier weight, slower on rolling pavement, and the size tested was a 42 millimeter. The best gravel tire for hardpack and pavement, the Maxxis Receptor. Pros: fast rolling, lightweight, quiet and smooth. Cons: not for rugged off-road conditions, poor traction in loose conditions. Best gravel bike tire for dry conditions and more, the Vitora Terrano dry. The pros are fast, rolling, light, great on hard pack, better than expected in wet conditions. Cons, braking on loose gravel and sand. Size tested was a 38 millimeter. The best gravel bike tire for wet and muddy conditions, the Pirelli Cinturato Gravel S. The pros, phenomenal grip in muddy, soft conditions, durable, long-lasting. Cons, heavier weight, more expensive than the others. And the best of the rest is the Schwalbe G1 Overland and Vettura Tirano mix. Schwalbe G1 Overland has durable, smooth, rolling, great for commuting and rough roads, suitable for e-bikes, good for hard pack and not for mud. And the Vettura Tirano mix, fast rolling on dirt, handling in mixed conditions, hard pack, cornering, durable. And the size tested was 38 millimeters for both. And that's it for our quick spin around the cycling world. Ride well and catch you next time.